It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
And we're back. Hour number two of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith coming to you live today from Hound Dogs in West Knoxville as the tent starts to go again. Perfect timing. That is unbelievable, Bear. Both times.
It's gone?
We start an hour of the show, like just immediately, there's a huge gust of wind.
Honestly, the wind has not been that bad. There's been a couple of times where you've come back.
What do you mean the wind has not been that bad? As far as studio right now.
No, as far as like the sound of it. There was a couple of times you've come back where you've sounded like you were standing. And I mean
standing right
in
now,
the middle.
I promise you.
In the middle
of the interstate.
Let's go back
to Marcus, the Top 4 at 4, brought to you this afternoon by Hound Dogs, where we are this afternoon. Come on out and see us. Marcus?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, probably the biggest news that's happening in sports right now is reports that Celtics head coach Ime Udoka might be suspended for the entire year and or resign from his position.
What'd he do?
The decision for a potential year-long suspension, I should clarify, is not coming from the league. It's coming from the Boston Celtics themselves. As it has been rumored, it hasn't been officially said by the team, that Ime had a relationship that was consensual with a staffer within the organization, which is against their code of conduct.
Huh.
Dipping his pen in the company ink.
You can't do it. A tale as old as time, Russell, isn't it?
Oh, Ime. And you know who he's married to.
Yes, I do. And I cannot believe that this is even a thing that he would do.
Wow.
Who's he married to?
Familiarity breeds stupid decisions. He's married to really attractive girl from Friday.
Nia Long.
The movie, Ice Cube's love interest.
He's married to Nia Long?
Yep. Mm-hmm. She won't be happy about this.
I don't imagine. And she lives in California. She's getting half. Although she's probably got a lot more than she's going to take half his stuff anyhow.
It's reported that assistant coach Joe Mazzulla is expected to serve as the interim head coach. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if Brad Stevens might even consider hopping back over there.
Wow.
Who knows?
Man.
At number two.
It's undefeated, Russell. Undefeated.
At number two, Tennessee football last night confirmed that they will be wearing the classic orange jersey, white britches for the Tennessee-Florida game.
Pump it into my veins, Marcus Young. Yes!
Yeah, I thought they might go with the smoky grays for this game. Apparently, they don't have all the equipment in for that. But I do think that with the checker kneeling, the orange jerseys on white pants will provide for a better aesthetic, if you will.
Have you guys seen – I saw it yesterday on Twitter. They said it – at all the UT, you know, like Hound Dogs, where you get UT apparel. Have you guys seen the smoky gray, the Nike smoky gray one?
We got Jesse here from Hound Dogs. Have you seen what Bear's talking about there?
Yeah, we have them in the store.
All right.
Are they going to wear the ones, Jesse, do they have the black strip along the shoulder pads?
They do. It's what they consider that anthracite.
Anthracite, yeah.
So they're incorporating that into
what I understand, I don't think the gray jerseys are going to be worn until, like, Kentucky. And from what we understood, I thought the blacks were going to be worn at Ball State or Akron. But they didn't do that.
Hmm.
So
you want to wear the black for a night game, right? I feel like that would look cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we always knew they weren't, that it was probably going to be the checkerboard for Florida, so they were going to wear the classic jerseys. But outside of the rest of the games, I have no idea what they're wearing now, because everything that we thought that was happening seems to not be right.
I just hope one day they'll come out and just totally surprise us. And I just pray that Nike can come up with something crazy, intimidating looking. I don't know if they're going to do something like that. And just roll out there against Florida in it.
At number three, we have NFL, Thursday Night Football tonight as the Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Cleveland Browns in First Energy Stadium in Cleveland at 8:15 p.m. It will be on Amazon Prime. Cleveland is a 4-point favorite currently.
Yeah, I got a key AFC North battle right here. Two teams in need of win, two teams with injuries, suspension issues, whatever. It's not exactly seeing their full barrel of bullets tonight, but should be a good one, man. I'm looking forward to watching some of that.
Do you guys find it weird that they're playing? I mean, so this will be their second game of the season.
No.
So they won't face them again unless they meet up in the playoffs.
Oh, Pittsburgh has only played Cincinnati in their division.
I thought they played Cleveland.
No, it was Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
One. It's okay.
Sorry. Right.
And finally, at number four, North Carolina Tar Heels quarterback Drake May has apologized for a jab he threw at NC State Wolfpack, claiming that he said it was inappropriate. He was talking about in a media discussion about why he chose to come to North Carolina. He said, "I didn't want to miss out on the hometown experience. Seeing Sam being a hometown kid too, whether you want to admit it or not, growing up in Carolina, you're going to be a Carolina fan." Some people say state as well, but people who really go to state just can't get into North Carolina.
I mean, he's not really lying. North Carolina's a good school. NC State's a kind of a not so good school. And I say that as somebody who had relatives who went to both. I mean, it's just sort of is what it is. But let's be honest, like, it's a little different when you're a football player or a basketball player. They'll let just about anybody in to those schools as long as they're good at their sport. All right, thank you, Marcus. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Hound Dogs, and we're here this afternoon from 3 to 6 doing the thing, getting you ready for Tennessee and Florida, and we got Jesse here from Hound Dogs with us. Jesse, first of all, thanks for having us out, man. Love what you guys do here. You all have been here for a long time now.
Yeah, we have. This store has been here since 97. This is the original Hound Dogs, the very first one. And we came in, me and Don and his friends came in, and they bought the old owner out back in 09. And then I came in and started managing it and bought in 15. And it's me and Don here at the store most days and running it.
I'd imagine it's a cool job for a Tennessee fan just to work with Tennessee gear. I mean, they say do what you love. You know, that's got to be fun to be around orange all day.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It can be a little disheartening at times when the team's not doing good because you're also affected financially in that. But it's a blast. It's so fun to be in here and just talk Tennessee with everybody that comes in, and everybody's in a great mood and most of the time, and you know, they don't come in if they're in a bad mood. So
football's doing well right now, 3-0. We'll see what happens this weekend, so you're kind of riding that wave, which is always the biggest wave to ride. But basketball's just solid, and for guys like us, I remember the lean times, you know, so it's great with that program. And then baseball had to have been like, I mean, that's something that we never really thought about in the radio world as something that was, you know, interesting to a wide number of Tennessee fans, but it was this year, and I imagine you guys felt that as well.
It was huge this year, and it almost seems like baseball is passing basketball in that crowd and attention. Like, baseball was nuts for us. I mean, basketball was big, but of course this year baseball did something that Tennessee baseball's never done. They broke so many records and did so much. It was an amazing season.
Well, yeah, it's just a first time thing. Yeah. You know, we'd never been uncharted waters, that kind of thing. It was just something new to get into. And we've had those runs before in 95, 01, 05, but not like this. Now you can watch all the games on TV and,
It's fun, man. It's something me and my wife have actually gotten really big about. Me and her will watch almost as many of the baseball games as we can. We have ESPN Plus, so we can catch all the ones that aren't aired. Just Tennessee athletics in a whole right now. It's just
good spot.
It's great to be a Tennessee ball right now. It is definitely great. They're just rolling. We don't even have off seasons around here anymore. It just goes year round.
Yeah, it's great, man. So tell us a little bit about Hound Dogs. Obviously, a lot of people come in to get gear so that they can be in the right color section and all that stuff, be suited up right for Saturday. But also, gift-wise. I love the wall art. Just so much cool stuff here for the Tennessee fan to come and take a look at.
We try to get a little bit of everything. We have a ton of apparel for kids, babies, men, women, dogs. You name it. We got stuff for your car, stuff for your boat, stuff for your house, stuff for your kitchen, stuff for your bedrooms, office. I mean, if you need it and it's got a T on it, we probably have it. Now we're still dealing with a lot of the you know, supply chain issues, yeah, like everybody else, but it's getting there. Right now I think it's more about the Tennessee craze, trying to keep up with inventory on the Tennessee craze than it is the supply chain. But we get stuff in every day, and we're constantly ordering more and more. So, I mean, we're always going to have new product all season long.
All right. So come in here and get yourself some Volgate. And you were telling me the overalls that are so popular,
they're going fast. I have a few left in most sizes. I might be out of like an XL or something like, or a medium. But we, from what I understand, are the only ones that have any inventory left as far as the size range we have. So, but they'll probably be gone after this weekend, so come get them now.
We got the cool Nike gear in here, a lot of great hats and stuff. You got a miniature beer barrel. Is that thing for sale up there? That's just a decoration.
It's a customers of ours that got it from back in the day, and he wanted us to put on display.
That's
trust
cool.
me, I could have sold probably 1,000 of them
now.
Oh,
that's so cool. All right, well, come on down here and see us. Jesse, before we let you run here, What's going to happen Saturday? Are we going to be okay?
We're going to be good. I'm gonna throw this out there, and I've got a strong feeling about this, but I'm thinking 42-19 Tennessee.
Ooh, 42-19. What did Haji say? 38-17. So, Jesse's even more bullish than our resident gambling guru John Hodge. I hope you're right.
I hope I am too.
Can you imagine?
Me and Don were talking about it back there about how crazy this town's going to be. I was like, I think it's going to riot one way, regardless of the outcome. It's so crazy around this game right now. Like, they're just wanting something.
Yeah.
And if he goes 42-19, I don't even know if there'll be a stadium left.
It'll be a party. It'll be a party for sure, man. It's going to be awesome. All right. We got Jesse down here at Hound Dogs. Roberto is on this. What'd you get, Roberto? With some stickers, a little license tag thing. That's cool. Awesome. Well, Jesse, we appreciate you, man.
Hey, no,
maybe you stop back by here in an hour or so before we get out of here. But thanks again for having us out.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Appreciate it. Go Vols.
All right, thank you. That's Jesse down here at Hound Dogs, one of the owners here. And you can come check us out here on Kingston Pike right off Cedar Bluff. We'll be here till 6 p.m. doing the thing.
Why don't you grab me one?
Wednesday, Thursday.
Why don't you grab me one of them Gator Hater shirts? Double XL gray.
Double XL gray is what you're going with?
If you'll grab me one. If they've got them.
We'll see.
A Gator Hater.
We'll see, buddy. I'll see what we can get you this afternoon. 865-546-8200, your number. Do we still have Trey?
Yes, we do.
Let's get him in. He's been hanging for a while now. Trey, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
We got you, Trey. What's up, man? Cool. Hope you're doing well.
Absolutely. Hey, I got to give a shout-out to Bear. He's doing a better screening job today. It was a more thorough vetting before going on air, so I think he's looking to rectify his mistakes from yesterday. So.
What mistake?
Okay, never mind.
You have to go down this road again. The worst part of it is, Trey, the lack of shame, the lack of contrition, just owning it, man.
No, I will agree. I agree, Russell, but I also kind of do agree with Bear. Like, TJ seems like a super nice guy, but it does really piss you off in a certain way. I mean, he's the enemy. Like, don't be my enemy and be nice to me. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel bad that TJ doesn't have a Kentucky sports program that's worth calling into. I mean, their stuff sucks, so I don't blame you. I'd call into Kentucky radio if I had to contend with what they have to contend with. But, fellas, I can feel in the air this week, man. It's just that energy. This panel is just ready to absolutely explode. I mean, Geraldo has got me fired up from yesterday. Ron Slay got me even more fired up today during work. I felt like I could run through a wall. I didn't get jack done today. Like, absolutely nothing done. And I know that the productivity is an all-time low in Knoxville. I mean, it has to be. But it's just, God, it feels good. And yesterday when I was talking about our 11% chance of making it to the playoff, I wasn't saying that's a possibility or a real 11% chance. I was just saying, you know, why don't we dream a little bit while we can in case Saturday doesn't go our way. But the closer we get, man, the more confident I get. I don't know. I'm getting less and less nervous and more determined and fired up. How about you guys?
I feel like kind of overall, I think there's a quiet confidence around town, like with fans and hopefully with the team as well. So.
Yeah. Hey, any update on Tillman? I know Heupel said
Everybody, you know, all over town is, you know, it's everything from he's done for the year to he was doing jumping jacks and leading the stretching this way that he's going to play. So nobody.
Whoa. I have not heard he's done for the. Have you? Has anybody said he's done for the year?
No, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy rumors rolling around town about it.
I haven't heard that one. I've heard that, you know, the worst I've heard is high ankle sprain, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, that kind of thing. But I haven't heard anything official as far as him being out. Although if I were a betting man, I would probably bet on him being out this week.
Is that coming from your assumption, Russ, or do you have some pretty decent inside sources?
I don't personally, but just, you know, reading the message boards, the Twitter sphere, the beat reporters, there doesn't seem to be a great deal of confidence from the folks who cover the team on a day-in, day-out basis. But the one thing I'll say to that, now those folks generally do have the inside sources. Maybe they're talking to a coach or player inside the program. All we know is what Heupel says publicly, and we've talked about it several times. He just is not one to address injuries. Most coaches aren't these days, and I don't think we'll know anything for certain until pregame warmups if he's dressed out and going through warmups out there.
Yeah. Hey, and before I hop off real quick, was Haji saying that to take, like in the Baylor-Iowa State game, is he saying you take the ranked or unranked team in those matchups?
I did not catch that part of his phone call. Bear, do you remember?
No, I'll have to admit it again. When you all start talking about spreads and stuff, I get kind of confused, to be honest with you, because I just tell you who I think is going to win. I don't know about all the points and all that stuff, so I can't answer your question. Just to be brutally honest.
No, you're good. I'm just sitting here staring at it, wondering which way I should put the money. So that's my due diligence right there.
He is
there.
A simple man, and he doesn't do point spreads, Trey.
I would expect no less from Bear. But, hey, love you guys. Tomorrow when I call in, I might be a little, a little more fired up. And
blowed away?
I might have some liquid courage in me. So, I'll be a little blowed away. Let's just say that.
All right, Trey, appreciate you, man. All right, stay with us. The drive continues, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, more of your phone calls coming up. Back here on the drive, Fan Run Radio. The journey continues on a Thursday afternoon. Shout out to Roberto who came by. I think we're going to go hit up his tailgate tomorrow. He's doing a pork butt. Looking forward to a little pork butt tomorrow, perhaps a cold beverage or two. Christopher Gabriel's in town. He'll be on the show with us tomorrow all day long out at National RX. Looking forward to that. And we will be meeting and greeting with you afterwards at Hops and or Hollers. Jake is doing overtime down there from 6 until 8. CG and I should be getting there around 7 or so. We're going to have a barbecue food truck down there from former Vol Chavis Smith does a great job cooking some pig. I don't know if he's got any butt, but whatever the good part is, he'll have it. So come on out, Hops and Hollers, tomorrow night. Meet Christopher Gabriel. I think a lot of the guys from Fan Run, most of us are going to be down there. So it's going to be a great little tailgate shindig tomorrow. Let's go to the busy, busy phone lines. I was just thinking about him earlier today. I'm so glad he called because it's been so long. Let's welcome in Martin up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Russell.
How you doing?
Russell, what's going on with our Celtics?
Your coach evidently has a wandering eye and perhaps a wandering body as well.
If it's true, I say firing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about this suspend him for a year thing. I feel like that puts your franchise, particularly for a team that was in the NBA Finals last year, that just puts you in limbo. And then he comes back and there's still questions about it. I think you either handle it internally with some sort of a fine, maybe suspend him for the first month of the season. I don't know. But if I would just fire him instead of suspending him for a season. If you feel that strongly about it, I would go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off, which is a shame because he's obviously a very talented coach.
Who's going to be the interim coach?
Hey, do you have that?
Yeah, it's the assistant coach currently is expected to be Joe Mazzulla is expected to take over as the interim coach.
Well, his right-hand man.
Joe Mazzulla?
Correct.
His right-hand man there took the Utah job.
Right.
So it's a new guy. They don't really have a good plan here. You know, they'd set it all up with Udoka, and now he's gone. His right-hand man is gone, and they're I believe the interim that they're talking about is a guy who they just hired. So not ideal for the Celtics.
Quick correction for you, Russell. Mazzulla was actually an assistant for the Maine Red Claws, which is their NBA G League affiliate. And he joined the Celtics coaching staff in the 2019-2020 season. So he's been a part of the franchise. Yeah. He's been a part of it for a little bit. But you're right. The guy who left for Utah was his right-hand man, who would have been the ideal choice in this scenario.
Yes. And Russell? Have you heard anything else on basketball recruiting at all?
No, I know the guy who is a teammate of DeLeon's in North Carolina committed to Wake Forest this week. So I've already forgotten the young man's name, a guard. He's off the table. So it sounds like the big piece that's dangling out there right now is the Chinyelu kid from Nigeria. And he visited Florida last weekend, and I have not heard anything about how that went or if he's close to a decision or anything, but he sounds like a really nice prospect, and
like
it sounds like Tennessee,
got,
the Gators are up for him.
Russell, I like
yes.
the three we got so far.
I do, too. I mean, it's Rick Barnes. He's a great recruiter. He's got a
7th, 4th, kind of 8th in the country.
He's got a machine of a program right now, and they're doing really well and just sort of stacking classes after the other. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, can he get them over the hump?
Yeah.
I was reading Lindy's College Basketball Preview magazine that I picked up this week, and they've got Tennessee, I think, 17th or 18th in the country coming into the season. And their write-up basically said, look, he'll get you to the tournament, but he won't get you much past the second round. And that kind of stung a little bit, Martin. I'm ready to see Coach Barnes take that next big step and have a big run past the Sweet 16 and really have a moment that builds to his legacy that we can remember him by for one really great team that had a great run in March.
Yes. But I like the three we got, and I think Kate Phillips and – well, really, I think all three of them would do really, really well and have a chance to go to the NBA. That's how strong I feel about that class.
Well,
outstanding.
Martin, it's great to hear from you, friend.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Martin checking in on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Let's get D.R. Vall in here next. What's up, D.R. Vall?
Russ, you sound like Mark because you're getting blown away.
I'm getting literally blown away, not figuratively.
Oh, I got you. I had to call and shout out Hound Dogs, man. I had never been, honestly. I told them this at the counter. I thought Hound Dogs was a bar until they started advertising with y'all. And I told them that. If it wasn't for Fan Run, I would just assume y'all was a bar. That's why I'd never been out there. And man, me and my fiance, we bought a little over $100 worth of stuff. Very, very impressed.
It's a cool little shop, isn't it, man? They just got, you know, all the Vol gear that you would expect, the new shirts and hats and all that stuff. But I love the wall art, the little, you know, wall pieces and decorative pieces that they have here. Classic stuff that's just really cool if you're a longtime hardcore Tennessee fan.
Well, and I tell you what they have that I haven't seen unless you had to order it online. They've got those baseball bats hollowed out with a cup with Tennessee baseball on it. It's like a mug or something.
Really? To go see, yeah, if I can find those. Speaking of wall art, our friend Doug Brooks at Desert Vol on Twitter has some really cool pieces, some, like, you know, Tennessee collage paintings and like helmet, you know, things that you hang on the wall. Hard to describe. I posted some pictures of them on Twitter. He's going to be auctioning those off tomorrow night at our event at Hops and Hollers. It's a silent auction. And I don't think these things are going to go for like hundreds of dollars or anything. So if you want to get some cool Tennessee wall art, I really hope our audience will show up and bid on that stuff, because Doug is not pocketing the proceeds. He's donating it to the Arnstein Jewish Community Center, which is a great place here in town. I used to play soccer there, and I went to some camps and stuff growing up. Cool place and a great cause. So come on out tomorrow to Hops and Hollers, and you can get some vintage Tennessee apparel and wall art there.
I don't really know how to follow that up, Russ. I really wanted to complain about the show yesterday, and you know I'm a big fan. I mean,
yeah,
I
love
you
a segue from a promo to a complaint. I feel like that is right on par for this show.
It's the way of our world, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm getting ready to say get a cheap shot thrown my way.
I feel it coming too. I'm here for it.
That's what bothers me. It's Florida week, and we're letting them on our show. I thought this was Fan Run Radio. It's bad enough, and he's a nice guy, that we have TJ on here, and I don't mind it, but I don't want him on the week of the Kentucky. I don't want to hear from them. I've got the orange color glasses on, and I need full confidence, because I'm already worried about this game, and I feel like the screening process needs to be improved, Bear.
I feel like you, out of everyone, ought to be able to appreciate my ability to let somebody slip through, yet agree with my point, my main point about my comments about the call.
That is one thing I will say. I was going to complain and defend you, Bear. I get what you're saying, because I see the tweets of TJ, and he's very nice and, you know, kisses up to y'all. But on Twitter, it's a completely different story. So I do admire that guy that called in, but I want to listen to other fan bases. I'd listen to Feinbaum, and I'm not listening to Feinbaum.
Stab me in the chest, like Rusty said. Don't stab me in the back.
Guys, I do. All kidding aside, I am nervous about the game, but I am so fired up, focused, and prepared. And I'm ready to hear Bear rage out on voluntary reaction after we beat their – I don't know if I can say it. You're there. After we beat them very badly. Have a good day, guys.
D'Arval, hell of a call from D'Arval. I'll accept his criticism, Russ. I'll try and get 1% better at screening calls.
All right, Botch.
Oh.
546-8200.
He's really brave when he's like 20.
Marcus with a well-timed, oh.
Oh, he's your straight man. He's your Ed McMahon, your new Ed McMahon. Guy in that chair has always got to laugh at all of Russell's jokes.
Hey-o!
Hey-o.
All right, who's next, fellers?
TJ, the Kentucky fan.
Oh, speak of the devil. Here he is. What's up, TJ?
Hey, fellas. You know, everybody's surprised about this adultery thing with this Celtics coach, but In the military, you get kicked out for adultery.
Well, yeah, I kind of agreed with Martin on that. And to Russ's point, especially, is like, why would you – you're going to suspend your head? You're going to put your entire franchise in a limbo for somebody who's getting suspended for a year for gross negligence and, I mean, about 10 or 12 other things that you can't do if you're in charge of a franchise like that. You're the head coach.
Yeah. You know, in the military, you commit adultery, you got another thing coming to you. You get dropped down in rank. You get half your pay cut, and you're on your way out the door. And not only that, if you make it to retirement and you're married for more than 10 years and you get divorced, she gets half your retirement too. So be careful out there, boys. You know, I heard you caller, and I heard D.R. Vol and all this stuff. And here's my thinking. Bear, Russell, Marcus, y'all have done nothing to me to stab y'all in the back. I have made it very clear that I hate Tennessee. They're a rival school, but I respect them. But I'm not going to go on Twitter and say, oh, Tennessee is a great football school. I love Tennessee. Just like y'all would in Kentucky. I'd break bread with y'all. I'd buy y'all beer. But I'm not also going to stab you in the back and have a mean comment towards one of you guys specifically. But, yes, I've made it very clear that I can't stand Tennessee, the school, the team. But I have nothing against you, Bear, Russell, Marcus. I got nothing against y'all. That's why I call y'all. That's why I listen to your show. I love the entertainment. I love the enjoyment of it. And, you know, if I'm ever in town, I'd absolutely call y'all and buy y'all beer or buy y'all pizza, whatever.
Hey, I mean, here's the thing, Mark. It's fine with me, TJ. You know you're my boy. I love the banter, the back and forth. I don't care how you act on Twitter. I don't particularly care how you act on this show. I love it all. But you're trying to come on here and explain yourself with logic and where you're coming from. Bear is not here for that. It doesn't make any sense to him. There's nothing you could say that's going to change his mind and how he treats you and everything. But that's okay. That's okay with me. I just hope you keep calm, buddy. And I will say this for you, TJ. You are a real man, sir. First of all, you served our country, and I appreciate that. I thank you for our freedom. Second of all, you call in every time Tennessee pantses your team and slaps you guys silly, whether it's in football or basketball. You always call the next day and take your medicine. You take it, which is more than I could say for some of our fans, quite frankly.
Hey, I love it, man. Names. You know, you were talking about the Ole Miss game this week, and I cannot wait till Kentucky next week. We got a new game. A potential top 12 matchup next week between Kentucky and Ole Miss. I hate that it's at noon, but, you know, it's, you know, TV ratings. I get it. Let me ask
Where
you
is
question.
That game?
Oh, it's at the Grove. It's at Ole Miss.
That's going to be a tough one for you guys.
You know, here's how I think of it. I think it works out in Kentucky's favor, it being at noon. Because if that was a 3:30 or a 7 o'clock kickoff, you'd have all day at the Grove. You'd have the night atmosphere in Ole Miss, a top 12 matchup, et cetera, et cetera. But as the away team, what do you want to do on a Saturday? You want to wake up, get out of the hotel, and just go play some football. As the home team, you want to let it drag on. I think it could work out in Kentucky's favor.
I mean, that's what they say, conventional wisdom. You want to play earlier in the day on the road. Ole Miss, it's interesting, right? It's not that big a stadium, but, heck, man, the last time we went down there, it was a night game, and, boy, they was that Butch or Dooley that they just slapped around down there, Hugh Freeze and company? Remember McCluster just running left and right around us? We could not get him on the ground. That must have been – was that Dooley? We went down there? I've tried – all those years run together to me.
Was that the year that they beat Bama?
It might have been. But that would be Butch years.
they had some pretty good teams for a while. And of course, like the 2 years, their best years were the years they happened to be on our schedule. So, but we'll see. Yeah, that's going to be a good one next week. Kentucky at Ole Miss.
Before I get out of here, let me ask you, because I have no clue whatsoever. I haven't been following it at all. How does your basketball team look this year? I know, I mean, basketball, heck, it's 4 weeks away from opening night. Crazy that it came up on us this fast. You guys still have that, I know you got the number 5 point guard. I forgot his name. What's his name? I'm not being disrespectful.
Ziegler?
I just forgot. Ziegler. You guys have that Plaschik guy?
Urosh is back. Name? Ziegler's Urosh. Back. We've got a couple of impact freshmen in B.J. Edwards, who's a point guard from Knoxville here locally, and Julian Phillips, who's a 5-star from South Carolina, who's going to be a fantastic player. He's a small forward swingman, real long, athletic, bouncy guy who's expected to have an impact. So we just got a real nice mixture of veterans. Vescovy's back. He might be Tennessee's best player. Josiah Jordan James is back. So they got some really good veteran leadership. Just a solid, I'd say, top 15 type program. And they're going to be good again.
Well, just like when Adolph Rupp passed away, there was no chance Tennessee was winning that game. When y'all retire Chris Lofton's jersey that night, there's no chance Kentucky's winning that game. Y'all have a good day, man.
You might as well not even show up. You might as well not even show up, TJ. But Cal will, and he will do the J-O-B. Rick Barnes is going to come out with the steel club, the steel chair. It's going to be beautiful. We love you, though, TJ. Thank you for the phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200, your number to chime in. We pause for the cause. Back with more right after this on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues live today from Hound Dogs in West Knoxville. Is the obligatory start of the segment breeze. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. 546-8200 if you want to hop on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines as we break things down, getting ready for Tennessee and Florida this weekend. Give us your Crown Cleaners, Crown Pick of the Week on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/The Drive with Russell Smith, all one word there. And find the score prediction thread, closest prediction, winning fabulous gifts and prizes from Crown Cleaners, including a pizza gift card as well as dry cleaning there. So the McCluster game was Houston Nutt versus Lane Kiffin in 2009.
Yeah.
They're saying that was a noon game. We played them at night down there sometime in the past.
Kim Dichie game when they broke Justin Worthy.
Yes.
When he did the Alabama special.
Yeah, so that was 2016? No.
No.
2014?
Would 2014. Been, yeah, 2014. Whichever, that was the game where that's when Dobbs got his number called. That wasn't it? Right after that? Dobbs came in at what? The second quarter Alabama that year.
That sounds right.
And then what's his name? I think he's still with the damn Raiders, man. I think he's on a roster. Peterman.
The Peterman principle.
Butch did that to Nathan. They trotted Nathan Peterman out there against what? Number one, undefeated, just ass-kicking machine Alabama.
Nathan Peterman is playing for Chicago. So, yes, he is still in the league.
You imagine? I mean, what's going through your head if you're Peterman that night? Lamb being led to the slaughter?
Didn't he? He was at Pitt, right? And Jim Chaney was his coach, his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and he had a great year.
They beat Clemson when Clemson was number one with Nathan Peterman at quarterback. I just remember Peterman, you know, we started him against Florida in 2013, I want to say, down in the swamp, and he ended up breaking his thumb and ended up missing a bunch of time. And then we, you know, that ended his season. And then we didn't see him again until the next season. They brought him in against Georgia right at the end of a game down there when we were getting our brains beat out. And I remember he took one of the worst
hits.
Where, yeah, like one guy hit him low and another guy hit him high simultaneously.
Did it knock him out of his cleats?
Yeah, he bent at an angle that I don't think the human body is not supposed to bend that way.
Nah, I mean, it looked like totally like old school, like something out of the ancient day, like 1950s, 1960s, lawless, you know, cheap shot NFL. I mean, he got killed. That may be one of the hardest shots I've ever seen a Tennessee quarterback take. I don't know. Garantano had that one in Alabama. He gave it up. Which is just insane. So how did we get on this? It's Florida week, baby.
How did we get on this? How did Nathan Peterman become a topic of conversation?
Because your Kentucky fan buddy steered us down. He wanted to talk about the Dexter McCluskey game. So you see a pattern there. He comes in and acts nice, and then he brings up like a really painful moment in Tennessee sports history. It's a great friend you got there, Russ.
The only pattern I see is your obsession with him. He lives rent-free.
And it's not just me, man. You've heard the callers today.
Well, because you won't let it go. Because you keep bringing it up.
Because you keep pointing it out. I mean, the dude calls in and acts all nice, and then at the end he wants to talk about that damn game?
Listen, if you had simply done what any reasonable Tennessee fan would do when a Florida fan calls in and starts talking trash, which is to talk trash back and trash him, like, it wouldn't be a topic of conversation. But you used that to... I still don't even understand.
Well, I mean, to be quite honest with you, it's your fault,
logical,
Russ.
But you just start bashing TJ.
It's
out of nowhere. He hasn't even called the show all week until today.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of attention.
Well, it was a classic TJ call. I was just pointing out, I was giving you an example of what I'm talking about.
It's pathetic, man. It's really pathetic.
It really is that he calls, and it's pathetic that you are completely snowed by it, sir.
No,
this is your fault. You want to know why I didn't rage out on that Florida fan? Because you were always yanking back on my leash.
It's all
Bear, we can disagree without being disagreeable.
The way some of you, can I speak, please? My radio show.
It's your show.
The way some of you elevate Kentucky in your minds as if they actually matter, as if they actually have done something, is pathetic. I was listening to the Blitz, and God bless them. I love those young men. They're young. But I was listening to those guys this morning, and they were doing a segment about the permanent opponents and who Tennessee's permanent opponents should be. And these guys are talking about Kentucky like it's some, you know, traditional rival, which I guess they're traditional rival in the sense that we play them every year. But to be a rival, there has to be a give and take where they beat us sometimes, we beat them sometimes, there's a back and forth, we hate each other. Kentucky, in my book, is a non-factor. I've never considered them a rivalry in football. They don't beat us. Even when they have quote-unquote good teams, they typically don't beat us. But the way you guys talk about them, it legitimizes them, it elevates them higher than they should be. If you would just ignore them and treat them the way we treat Vanderbilt, the way we treat Mississippi State, the way we treat South Carolina, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But the attention that you guys pay to them is, quite frankly, absurd. And you're letting them live rent-free in your heads. We should listen. We will not be the relevant football program that we want to be until we stop. We start disregarding them and take all the attention that you guys are paying to them right now and put that on Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. Those are our traditional rivals. Those are the teams by which our seasons are measured. Those are the teams that define success for a relevant and powerful SEC football program. Kentucky is an afterthought. They should be anyway, but the way you bear obsess about them and the way
it's,
the younger
I don't obsess about them. And
the,
I don't know pathetic. About the I don't know about the younger side. I'm not obsessed. I don't you hear me bringing up Kentucky football on this show? All I pointed out is one of your little favorite
every
callers calls in and he ends his at the end of his call, he bear. Brings up some horrible moment and you don't see it. You're people, just like, oh, don't throw, come on and take a dump all over our show and all over the team we root for, TJ.
People are listening to this, dude. People listen to the show. They have memories that go back more than an hour or two, right? You talk about Kentucky football on the show. We are playing Florida in the biggest game in program history the last 20 years or so in 2 days, and you are obsessing about Kentucky. It's pathetic.
No, I'm not obsessing about Kentucky. I'm not the one whose buddy let his buddy, Kentucky buddy, call in and start talking about an ancient game in the Derek Dew or Lane Kiffin days, 13 damn years ago. I'm the one who's not dialed into the Florida week. Get out of here, man! You don't even believe that. Trying to misrepresent what I say, Russell Smith. But it is your show.
This has been something, I'll tell you what.
Do you all want to talk about Florida? Are we just going to sit here and talk about TJ and Kentucky?
You're the one who keeps talking about it, dude. I've been ready to pivot.
I pivoted. You brought it up
15 minutes again.
Bro.
15 minutes
you
ago.
Brought it up.
You're not going to get the last word on me.
I'm ready to let it go. But, it's going to come back up again. There's no way we get through this next hour without Bear talking about Kentucky.
Not as long as I get last word.
No way.
Nope.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get back to Bears Kentucky Obsession Hour coming up next here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio, hour number 3, coming up.